Okay, so as Michael said, I'm going to be talking about chlamydia case rates in the U.S. So before I get started, I'm just going to start with some basics. Chlamydia is a sexually transmitted infection. It's caused by the bacterium Chlamydia trachomatis. Infection can occur in the genitals, throat, and mouth and rectum. Chlamydia is a really common infection. Based on estimates from national surveys, we think there are about 2.8 million infections that occur annually, and infections are most common among young women. The vast majority of those infections are asymptomatic, about 80 to 90%. But with or without symptoms, infections can lead to pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID, in women, which can lead to long-term sequelae, including tubal factor infertility, ectopic pregnancy, and chronic pelvic pain. Chlamydia is easily diagnosed, though, using nucleic acid amplification tests, or NATs. NATs have both high sensitivity and specificity. Vaginal swabs, either patient or clinician collected, are the optimal specimen to screen for genital chlamydia in females, but urine-based NATs are an effective alternative and are the specimen of choice in males. Rectal and oral pharyngeal infections can be diagnosed with swabs as well. Because chlamydia is usually asymptomatic, screening is necessary to identify most infections. And since chlamydia is so common among young women, CDC currently recommends annual screening for all sexually active women age 24 or younger, and older, meaning over 24, women at increased risk. And these screening recommendations are supported by the AAP, the American Council of OBGYNs, and it also has a grade B recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which means that it's covered without cost sharing under ACA. Okay, so let's look at some trends. So chlamydia has been a nationally notifiable condition since 2000, and since 2000, rates of reported cases have steadily increased. And this is likely a result of increased reporting. So even though it was made nationally notifiable in 2000, it took a while for all jurisdictions to send data. And the increasing case rate also reflects expanded use of those NATs, those more sensitive tests, over the time period. And finally, the increasing case rate reflects expanded screening. So although chlamydia screening has been recommended for young women since the 1990s, there really was a big push in the 2000s to increase screening coverage, and we think this increasing case rate really reflects that. So therefore, we generally think of an increasing case rate as a good thing. So it means our program is working. We are screening young women with the most sensitive tests available, and we're getting those data reported. And remember, we think there are about 2.8 million infections annually, and we only get about 1.4 million case reports. So we know there are still a lot of infections that are going undiagnosed and reported. So again, these increases, that's a good thing. So that was through 2011. Then in 2012, we kind of saw a flattening of the overall case rate. And then in 2013, the overall case rate decreased. And it was the first time since national reporting began that the overall case rate of chlamydia decreased in the U.S. So in the interest of time, I won't show you all the ways to slice and dice this overall case rate and just tell you that this overall decrease was really driven by decreases in the case rate among young women. So let's just look at those data. So looking at data among young women aged 15 to 19 years, here the bars are the number of cases reported. You can see that each year there are about over 300,000 cases reported. And the dot and the line shows the case rate. So during 2005 to 2011, the case rate increased each year an average of 4.2%. Then in 2011, this is where we actually first started to see the decrease. Starting in 2011, the case rate decreased annually an average of 6.5% per year until 2013. So what does this mean? So generally, we've been thinking that an increasing case rate is a good thing, right? We're getting all these undiagnosed infections diagnosed and reported. So what does a decreasing case rate mean? Well, one interpretation is that chlamydia incidence is decreasing. So maybe we're dropping down from that 2.8 million infections we think are occurring annually, and we're seeing a decrease. So I think in order to make that interpretation, that you have to assume a few things. So first, we have to assume that reporting completeness has not decreased. We have to assume NAT use has not decreased, and we have to assume screening coverage has not decreased, and maybe even some more assumptions that we can talk about during the Q&A. But I'm going to go through each of these three assumptions here and just talk about what data we have. So has reporting completeness decreased? Well, hopefully not, but maybe. So many jurisdictions are switching to new information systems like Maven or PRISM, and it's possible that during this transition it's caused some reporting problems, especially if your jurisdiction has lost the ability to consume your electronic laboratory reports. Maybe we're seeing some decreases in cases. So we can look at a couple of things to see if this is happening. So we can look to see if this is happening in a lot of places or just in places that have switched reporting systems. So is it happening in all geographic areas? So this figure shows jurisdictions where case rates decreased during 2011 to 2013. So I know you can't read the legend, so just kind of look at the big overall picture. And that's the case rates among adolescent females decreased in 38 of 51 jurisdictions during 2011 to 2013. And when we look at just the last year, 12 to 13, it decreased in 43 jurisdictions. So it's happening in a lot of places. So not just those places that switch information systems. So we can also look to see if decreases are happening in all age groups. So again, if we think this was just a systems issue, we would think that we would see decreases across all age groups, not just among adolescents. And when we look at female case rates by age group, you can see that not all age groups saw decreases. So the second to the top line is the 15 to 19-year-olds, so that's where we're seeing that big decrease of about 12.7%. There's also a decrease among 10 to 14-year-old girls. That's at the very bottom, but rates are overall very low in that age group. But in all of our older women, we're either seeing flat, the 20 to 24-year-olds is flat, and then in 25 to 29-year-olds and 30 to 34-year-olds, we're actually seeing increases in case rates during those couple of years we're interested in. So it's not in all age groups. So what about different race ethnicities? Again, if this was only a systems issue, we would expect to see similar decreases across race ethnicities. When we look at just the 15 to 19-year-old females, we did see decreases in all race ethnic groups, but the percent decrease varied. So the observed decrease in case rates was largest among Black, non-Hispanic adolescent females at almost 18%. But we saw smaller decreases among other race ethnic groups, particularly among white non-Hispanic females, or the green line at the bottom, that only had a 2.7% decrease. So yes, we saw decreases in all race ethnicities, but not at the same slope. Again, if it was only a result of system change, we would expect to see similar trends among all race ethnicities. So I think our assumption about reporting completeness is probably true. I don't think it has changed. But that being said, if you're in a jurisdiction that is about to switch information systems or have recently switched, this is a really good time to evaluate your data, to look to see if you are having any impact on your completeness. Okay, so our next assumption, NAT use. Remember, NATs are those more sensitive tests. We saw a big switch to NAT, and so maybe that's causing the increase that we're seeing. So unfortunately, we don't have any current national data on NAT use, but we can look at historical data from the National Infertility Prevention Program, which did monitor chlamydia testing. And here we can look at the percent of tests that were among females aged 15 to 24 years at family planning clinics, and we can see what percent of those tests were done using NATs. And you can see from 2001 to 2011, we saw a very steady increase in NAT use, all the way up to 99% in 2011. Everybody kind of moved to NAT use. And even though we don't have national data through 2013, we have no reason to believe that people are switching away from NATs. In fact, we're thinking people are using them even more as we're moving to vaginal swabs. So I think our assumption about NAT use not decreasing, probably true. So what about screening coverage? So before I show you the screening data, I want to step back and note that measuring chlamydia screening coverage is really tough. So what we want to measure is the number of females tested over all sexually active females. So the denominator is all the sexually active females in the population. But what we actually measure usually in most of our data sets is the number of females tested over the number of sexually active females who saw a provider. And that's because most of our estimates of screening coverage comes from clinics. So our denominator is really only women who accessed care, and so we end up excluding a lot of women already from the denominator. But when we do measure this screening in the healthcare-seeking population, we do it pretty well. So there's two big data sets that we can look at for screening. So the first is from the National Committee for Quality Assurance, which has HEDIS measures. HEDIS is the Healthcare Effectiveness Data and Information Set. HEDIS measures are used by more than 90% of U.S. health plans to measure care performance. And chlamydia screening has been a HEDIS measure since 1999. Additionally, the Office of Population Affairs also monitors chlamydia screening in coverage in federally funded Title X family planning clinics, and they've measured that for a while as well. So let's look at some of their screening data. So this figure shows chlamydia screening data from HEDIS. These data are just for young women aged 16 to 20 years old, and these are restricted to women who are in commercial health plans. And here I've limited my analysis just to health plans that reported the HEDIS measure for all 5 years of data shown here. So the dotted line shows the percent of sexually active young women screened, and the bars show the number of young women screened. So the bars are kind of the numerator to that screening coverage calculation. And you can see that during 2011 to 13, the proportion of young women tested decreased 2.1%, and the number of young women tested decreased 1.1%. So slight decreases, but not much. But we see something a little different when we look at young women in Medicaid plans. So first, the y-axis here is the same as the previous slide. So the dotted line, you can see the percent tested is similar among women in Medicaid plans and women in commercial plans. But the blue bars, the number, the absolute number tested is lower, and that's just because there are fewer young women in Medicaid plans. So in terms of trends, during 2011 to 2013, the percent tested decreased 3.1%, but the absolute number of young women tested in Medicaid plans decreased almost 7%. So these data here are from the Title X Family Planning Clinics, same format. The blue bars are the number tested. The orange line is the percent tested, and we have the same y-axis here. So here you can see the percent of family planning clients tested for chlamydia increased during 2011 to 2013, and it increased 4%. But during the same time period, the number of tests in family planning clinics decreased almost 17%. So this is because Title X clinics do a good job of screening the clients that they see. So a high proportion of young girls who walk through the door in a federally funded Title X family planning clinic are appropriately screened for chlamydia, but there are just fewer girls walking through the doors in Title X family planning clinics, so the absolute number of young girls tested in these facilities is shrinking. And this is really concerning because we don't know where these young girls are going, and if they're being screened for chlamydia in the clinic they do go to. So I think as far as assumptions, I'm putting question marks here next to the screening assumption. Based on the limited screening data we have, I don't think the decrease is completely explained by the decrease in, completely explains the decrease in case rates. So those decreases in the commercial HEDIS plans were pretty minimal. However, the decreases in the number of young women tested in Title X family planning clinics is concerning. Okay, so before I get to recommendations, I just want to give you a peek at the 2014 data. So the 2014 data are still preliminary. We don't have closeout yet, but it does look like the overall chlamydia case rate will go up a little in 2014. So we remember we flattened, we saw a little decline. We're going to see a little uptick, I think, in the overall case rate. But we will likely report a third year of decreases in case rates among adolescent females. So it's a slightly less decrease than the 2011 to 2012 decreases. But it's still a 4% decrease for that 1 year and an overall average percent decrease of 5.5% decrease over these 3 years. We don't have the Title X and HEDIS data for 2014 yet. We probably won't have those till this fall, but we'll be investigating those when we get them. Okay, so how do we figure out what's going on? So at the national level, we really have limited screening data, and that limits our ability to examine trends on case reports. However, at the state and local level, you may have more complete data, either from your public health laboratories or from relationships you have with private labs. And you can also look at positivity and screening data from sentinel clinics that you might have in your jurisdiction. And then here is where we really need your input. Interpreting chlamydia case rate data is tough, and I hope that I have saved enough time for the Q&A that I can hear your thoughts on other ways we can look at the data or other explanations you think might be going on. So with that, thank you, and I'll take any questions.
Well, we were actually interested in the same question because we saw the same pattern in the incidence rates. And one of the things that we actually took in our EOR database, which is the whole state of Florida, and we looked at positivity rates among the family planning clinic clients. And we see the same pattern there as what you described.
The decrease in positivity?
Decrease among the, no.
Decrease in testing.
The incident rate goes down, but the positivity rates stay about the same.
Okay.
And so they basically suggest that you get basically less people in, the younger also. And I have to really check, double check what I'm the data there. But I think that's, the main point was more like, because you have, for example, people come to family planning clinics because they get pregnant and they're mandatory tested. So it's basically a very constant group that comes in that is not affected by a lot of the other factors. And so if you can look in those from, hey, what's your incidence rates and what is your positivity rates and that kind of things, you might actually get, you can actually untangle the two because you have to get both of them, what's going on in much more detail. And if you have a large system like in Florida, you might actually have a lot of data to look at instead of very small a clinic here, a clinic there. You get actually a much larger data.
So, you were using rates and cases, and I got mixed up sometimes. Were the rates going up in after making the churches pyramid, it was in general going down like a lot of populations are. No, birth rate gone way down with pregnancy, apparently some increase in cotton and hormonal practices among teens. And so there, if you look at YRBS or anywhere else, you might get an explanation.
Yeah. So the definitely it's the number of cases and the rates are both going down. The population of adolescent females is shrinking, but that the rates still reflect that the decrease is real, or the decrease is decreasing. So we have looked at YRBS, and there are some conflicting data in YRBS about condom use, and it really varies by sex and by race, ethnicity. The teen pregnancy rates, though, as you said, continue to decrease. So there might, this decrease may be a reflection of changes in behavior, as including delaying sexual activity or choosing sexual behaviors that don't result in pregnancy. So we have looked at it, but we don't have great data at the national level to kind of do an analysis.
Have you considered that maybe the recession had something to do with this? I know birth rates have dropped, and maybe people are just have less money, go out less, and do a lot less. I know the recession has affected a lot of aspects of behavioral life.
To be honest, I haven't thought of it, but thinking quickly, in some ways it potentially would have the opposite effect on adolescents in that they don't have money to go out, so they are having sex because sex is cheaper than going out. I don't know, but that's an interesting point.
I was just going to comment. I think it's a long-acting reversible contraceptive that teens are not having access to that's preventing the pregnancy.
The
long-acting reversible contraceptive that is becoming available at no cost. Thank you so much, Libby. Two other theories, one of which you and I have talked about before, but just wondering whether or not we potentially have finally reached the screening tipping point and had enough years of screening enough people that would indicate that we're finally having an impact on population level chlamydia prevalence. That would be hopeful.
Yeah, no.
Although,
that's the yay, it's working.
I was really sad to see the family planning data that might indicate some decreases in screening, or maybe decreases in the walking disorder, which kind of potentially ruined this theory, but I think we could talk more about how that interplays with your point about how there weren't unequal drops with the rates of miscarriage.
Right.
And if we say that the underserved are more served in
the sites
which were showing decreases,
right.
How one might improve it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's concerning, because I do think family planning, the Title X does a really good job screening. And if those young people are no longer going there, maybe they're because they have insurance and they're going to a federally qualified health center, a community health center, I don't know. We don't know enough about what the chlamydia screening practices are in those types of facilities to know if they're being appropriately screened there.
Okay.